Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
In the Torah and the scriptures, we read the Shema, which was the credo for the children of Israel before any laws were given, that they understood that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." They weren't into polytheism. They made it clear that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Before I go into our Father's prayer, as Christ told us to pray, I want to read from the Psalm of David, because this is a prayer for spiritual cleansing. And for those of you that have entered into the Shabbat, understand that this is a time of refreshing. I'll read from Psalms, the 51st chapter. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors the ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shall thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, which burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. That is a prayer from the apple of the Father's eye, a man after his own heart, with a broken and contrite spirit. Let's go before the Most High in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to Blueprint for Life, brought to you here on Blog Talk Radio from At Last Ministries, an extension of Social Change Action Network. And we are here to participate, celebrate, rejoice with you on the Sabbath, the Shabbat. But this is one of the greatest of all times of the week, of the year, of festivities, to rest. The Most High created for us to enjoy Him, adore Him, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're all scattered across this diaspora, so we connect over the airwaves, we connect with those locally, we connect with those whomever we can get into contact with to share about His goodness. And Blueprint for Life, I am Elder V. We will be joined by Brother Ray, and this is actually an opportunity for us to build a foundation, to learn the foundation of victory, the schoolmaster. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundation was never done away with. He only came to take away the consequences of the sin. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, which was death. Now we have grace. But this law is still relevant in our society, in our walk, because it is a way for us to begin to come up out of these curses as we go through Jacob's trouble. There was a hedge around Job. Understand that seeking Him, His kingdom, and this righteousness, and living these commandments can put you in that very place. And I want you to be in that place, holy, Kodesh, as spoken of, even in the new epistles, what people like to call the New Testament. So all praises to the Most High, and may the Most High in Christ bless our time today. Shabbat Shalom. Brother Ray, how are you?
Shabbat Shalom. I'm doing good, my brother. Celebrating Feast of Tabernacles. So, I've been allowed by the Most High to keep a lot of things separate for the last week or so. And, you know, Father willing to continue with that. But, you know, everything is good in this portion of our Father's Vineyard. How about you?
Everything is good. Sound like last night when I heard you and we got on the phone, I heard some shofars blowing. Sound like you guys are having a party over there. I mean, what was going on, brother?
Yeah, about
I heard drums and singing, and what were y'all so
about? Yeah, about 7 kids were there, about 12 adults, and we was at Brother Verta's house celebrating Tabernacles. We got different times. Like, I just started my Tabernacles on Thursday. He is winding his down the last day of his Tabernacles because they go on a different calendar. Will be this Sunday, but we're celebrating music, shofars, which you heard. Giving glory to the Most High for his time. And again, it was held on the Sabbath day, so again, it was a nice day of rest for us. And Nathan, Nathan, he came in there and said he was looking for that all week. Get away from the rest of the world. I hear that. So it was good.
Sounds like you guys had a good time. But, you know, more than anything, I like the fact that although you're functioning and operating on different calendars, as pretty much all of Israel is out here, doesn't seem like we quite – everybody's on some different calendar. I like the fact that you guys got together. He was winding down and you were starting, but y'all came together on that Sabbath and you celebrated, and I think that was beautiful. And you said it was about 20 of you guys, huh?
Yeah, close to it. Close to it,
so,
yeah.
So he invited quite a few people, huh?
Five of them was from my side, and he got his two sons and their two wives and then his wife and then all their grandkids. So that's what made up the lot of us that night.
Y'all brought the two tribes together.
Yeah, it was a good time. We got a chance to talk about the father's calendar. He got a chance to talk to my kids about the importance of the feast days. So we all, you know, sharing portions of war, then song, dance, you know, it was a good time. It's a good time.
So I,
it's always,
you know,
good
I,
to give glory,
you know,
to
I
the Most
no
High.
Invitation, man. You know, you didn't send me no invitation, bro.
Yeah. You know, he told me, he actually told me Thursday night. He told me Thursday night, gave me a text and said, we're getting together Friday night, celebrate, you want to come by? So then check with the rest of the family. I told him, yeah, we'll come by. And I did my little physical therapy appointment like I told you. I made some food earlier that day. Well, not earlier that day. I made it closer so because I knew I couldn't cook through the night. So I made it probably around 5 o'clock before the sun went down. Got some chicken, some other stuff over there. So it was all right. Had up some fresh fruit.
Y'all had some chicken, huh? Some fried chicken. That's one thing ain't changed from the Christian church. Y'all gonna eat that chicken, huh?
Yeah, we had some chicken. I put some mango stuff on it. I put it in the oven, though, so we didn't fry it. We baked it. Well, it was still good, you know.
No, that's real
food.
Lord
knows what they, you know, what they put in their food nowadays, trying to make the chicken look different. We put everything in it, from swine to everything else, so, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta be careful what we eat.
Yeah. We talk about that on these other broadcasts, that there's literally an all-out intentional attack on us through the foods that we eat because they know we're going to go to the store and we're going to keep on eating. So they know how to get us. But, you know, back to what you're saying, this is the day of the Shabbat. We're going to focus on him and all praises to the Most High. That, man, when you called me, y'all sound like you were having a good time. So I just rejoiced with you. So it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, so I want to make sure we wish our brother, Shabbat Shalom. So we made sure we called you and put you on the speaker. Then one of the kids was blowing the shofar, which was funny because he could blow it way better than me. I think the kid was like 4. He's blowing that shofar. Yeah, 4 years old. From his youngest son. You probably didn't see him, but it was his youngest son. Him and his wife came over. Little kid was blowing it. So he got lungs. I said, you got something blowing the shofar. He was blowing the big one, too.
Wow. It's a beautiful thing. Did the wife get a chance to come out?
Nah, the wife, we did the same thing to her that we did with you. She was upset that she didn't. Because when we called her, we were doing another song, singing. You know, we didn't talk to her for a minute. We just had her on the speaker. You know, the other verse was yelling hallelujah. I was yelling the highest child, high I am that I am. Then the kids start, my kids start yelling hallelujah, Shabbat Shalom. She starts saying, I want to be there. She said,
like
you right, should be working.
We're going to get into the lesson in a minute, brothers and sisters, but I'm enjoying the conversation with my brother. But it sounds like the boys and your daughter and them, they're getting into it. They're appreciating the celebration of the Most High, huh?
Yeah, it's good, you know.
That's good.
They're getting a chance to get some things right. So that's all we can thank the Most High. He gives another day to get things right.
All praises to the Most High in Christ, man. I guess we just have to be patient. But, you know, man, that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. When I put you on the speakerphone, I had to cast the spirit of envy off of my wife because she got envious and wanted to be down there.
I don't know if that's envious. We just want to celebrate. You know, that's our command. You know, we're not supposed to forsake assembling with one another. And, you know, that's what the Christian churches does. And that's what the mindset does. They tell you, they change the Most High's days to different days. You follow that Roman Catholic Church. They give you Christmas, they give you Easter, but the Most High, He gave us Passover. He gave us Days of One with Bread, and just like the time we're at right now, He gave us Tabernacle. So like you said in Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembly of each other, you know, and that's what we're supposed to do. It's the time that we're supposed to assemble with each other. So that's a good thing. I miss y'all as much as y'all miss me. I wish I could be up there with y'all so we could blow show bars and sing, be on that piano. We could do the same thing together. Give glory to the Most High.
Well, Most High willing, we'll make it happen real soon. We'll make it happen real soon, real soon. So we're going to move into the lesson. And, you know, brothers and sisters, we want you to understand that it's important. And even with what we're doing now, it's important for us to fellowship, rejoice, and celebrate. We go through enough in this life. We go through enough in this world. We go through enough. This is the time that we come together to enjoy each other, enjoy Christ, enjoy this word, and put our differences to the side. It's one thing that just stood out that this brother shared with me, that, you know, there might be some differences with the calendar and time, but they put all that to the side to rejoice, because we have this one commonality, which is Christ and this Torah and this law. And even the scripture says we see through a glass dimly. That means dimly. Now, we can get some things right with the times. I'm not disputing that. But we all see through a glass dimly. Everything's going to be revealed in us when Christ returns. One thing I was looking at going into this lesson that we're about to go into, and we're just talking about just a little different things here, but, you know, in Acts 5:20, when there probably was more of a unification of the understanding of times, when the apostles were sent to prison, this is an interesting scripture, brother. I want you to hear this. When the apostles were sent to prison, when they were released, let me read this. The apostles were arrested. It says in chapter 5 and verse 18. Verse 19 is where I'm picking up from. It's after they let them out and they came out of prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And the big thing that stands out for me is that we all have this life, this new life that we live according to Torah. And the angel told them to go into the synagogue, and we know that was normally on the seventh day. And they did get together in the temple sometimes, you know, during other days. But they went to the temple, and the angel put inference. He emphasized the fact that he said, go speak all the words of this life. And we want to share with you, brothers and sisters, on the Shabbat, this life. Because this life is all about conforming to the commandments and getting these commandments in your heart. So, you know, if somebody want to get all technical, he didn't say nothing about go tell them about this camp. He said, go tell them about this life. Not nobody's doctrine about this life. And this is where there was no division there. We should be calling ourselves, you know, we should be calling it this way the life, I guess. I don't know, but I'm not going to get technical with that. But I like how the angel of the Most High told him that. Go share with everybody this life. And brothers and sisters, that's what we want to do today. And when you get off this radio broadcast or from out to your fellowships and assemblies with your brothers and sisters, throughout the week, we're supposed to tell everybody about this life. So, you know, we might have to create another show, Brother Ray, in the middle of the week talking about this life, because there's a lot of blessings in this life. Sometimes we get confused about the bad things that happen and the setbacks or the bills or the problems on the job, but we still living this life. You know what I'm saying?
That was the way. I know some of the Essenes and some of the other brothers, looks like we were talking about the Corvites, part of that. I was trying to get some better understanding from you. But a lot of them were, as they used to call themselves, a sect or the way. That's one thing they used to call themselves. They were the way. They followed that life pattern. So in this day and age, with so many of us waking up, coming out of our stupor, you know, understand we've been lied to on so many different levels, you know, it's hard to fathom sometimes. Our head is swimming. And that's where we got all these different camps and all these different things coming from. I was just like I was telling the Brother Nathan and the rest of us, we were starting talking. And he was asking me, did I follow with the blood moons? And I said, you know how the heathens get dismayed about the red moon, this moon. I said, I don't worry about that. I said, I try to keep my father's time.
Who
and
brought
said,
that up?
Nathan, Brother Virtus, oldest son.
Oh, okay.
And I said, I won't get dismayed by that. I said, the heathens get all worried about that. I said, I just followed my father's time. And I said, so one thing you got to understand is like math. They told us it's a universal language. Money. I said, but we'll get some people when we come together. One man will be yelling Jesus. I said, you'll be yelling Yeshua. Like me, I'll yell Yeshua, or we say Yah, or I say Ahaya. I said, one thing we know for certain, the universal language will be is when he comes back and give us all the same tongue. So it won't be no confusion. It won't be this person trying to say that. I said, we come together, we're supposed to give glory to the Most High, the Creator. And He's going to straighten every wrinkle in our clothes out. He'll make us white as snow. He'll make us clean so we can understand and see everything we need to see. Because we can't see everything right now. But if long as we keep the commandments, that's the way, that's life, and keep walking the steps, he's going to lead us to salvation. So I think that's the most important.
Yeah, hold on a second. That is the way, and that is the life. I'm glad you mentioned that. There is another scripture that says that they used to be referred to as those people in the way. That's how they were referred to. As a matter of fact, when they started calling them Christians, it was a form of mockery. The people from the Greeks and the Sadducees, the Pharisees was like, look, they go to them Christians. You know, it's kind of pointing at them. Mm-hmm. You know, but we were told to make disciples. And the angel said, go teach them this life. And there were people that were in the way. And we need to put more emphasis on that. And that life, that way, is the commandments as you speak. But you're absolutely right. When you make mention of the fact that all the different names, all the different camps, people tell them about you need to speak Hebrew. That's why today I got away from saying a lot of Hebrew words, because we sound like barbarians to those that are unlearned or just now learning. We need to read just as it is read in these scriptures. And you know why? Because the people that are learning Hebrew are putting emphasis on Hebrew. They do not read this whole Bible in Hebrew. They only pick certain words to say in Hebrew. But they don't know what Hebrew is, for there came also multitude, and they say the whole thing in Hebrew if Hebrew is where the power is. You know, right now, this is the tongue that he prophesied would be on us, and we would learn in this language, in this tongue. We all see through a glass dimly. And as you said, when he comes back, he's going to put us in the unity of the faith. We will have a new language. We will know what to call him. But what he's going to be looking for right now is those that are in this life. The ones that on that seventh day shut everything down and that tried to the best of their ability to keep the feasts, the festivals, and that treat their brothers and sisters the way that Christ told us to treat our brothers and sisters in John the 15th chapter. And he told us how we're supposed to walk. And so, you know, I want to put emphasis on these commandments and the importance of the commandments. But while you're on the subject and we are on the subject that we're talking about, you know, it was very important that in Titus, the first chapter, we see that Titus, the first chapter, talks about the qualifications of an elder. And you and I talked about this before, and I'm not going to get into the qualifications of an elder. I want to talk about the first part that was mentioned before they got into the qualifications that we don't look at. And it was Titus, the first chapter, in the fifth verse. It said, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. And wanting pretty much means the things that have been left undone. And ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. That's the part I want to talk about real quick. We know what the qualifications. It tells you what a bishop should do and an elder should do and one wife and not given to drunkenness, but we forget the first part. He told us how important it is to have an elder established in every city. That was Titus's job, responsibility. Timothy, they were supposed to go lay hands and anoint somebody within that city to be an elder and deal with the people in that area so that they could come to you. If they're sick, they need prayer, they need to be baptized. He didn't say nothing about this YouTube advent. He didn't say nothing about these camps. And yes, I am throwing off because there is a need for a man to be established within the region of 50 to 75 square miles that people can go to and be taught, learn, and help them to overcome and have understanding of this word. And nobody looks at the first part of those qualifications, and so we get away from that, and people are waiting for one person, one man. That is also a problem with us seeing through a glass dimly, but we can correct that, and we should straighten that, and we should respect those, because he didn't say anything about us not having someone established locally.
Yeah, I want to touch on a couple of things you said. One, even when we were just talking earlier before you got into Titus, you know, when you were talking about the different languages, he said it was stammering lips and another tongue. You know, he's going to be able to get to us. And even if you can barely speak a tongue, he'll be able to get to you as long as you understand his word. And the word Christian, he said, if I come in my name, you won't receive me, but somebody give you another name. And again, we know that people gave that name Christian, but when he gave us the name Hebrew Israelites, called out to walk with him, we still won't accept that to this day. But the camps or the life that we live in right now is so directed to being in front of a TV set or in front of a laptop or whatever it may be the case to get your edification from. We forgot the purpose of what the Most High has already, again, he commanded us to anoint one another, lay hands on one another.
Yep.
Sometimes the best way of even healing the sick is just being there. We don't understand that just the spirit of another person in contact with your spirit does a lot to the healing process.
Exactly.
So that's the reason why he commanded us to ordain a person in that area that was willing to take on that work to first to teach those other righteous men to do the same thing so that body can get stronger and continue in the work and what we said earlier, in that way of life. But we're so quick to listen to a man's teaching versus the Most High's teaching. And he'll tell you, just keep logging on to here and I'm going to give you some knowledge. You can get knowledge, and I won't dismay that people will get knowledge, but they're not actually working according to the way the Most High has commanded us to. So that's something we need to get back to.
We have to get back to it. I like that what you said, that even being in the presence of another who's an elder or who's fought some demons and overcome some battles, being in the presence of that spiritual person can affect change for someone else who's discouraged and depressed. We don't even realize how much our presence, and you know why we don't realize it, is because none of us are in the routine of going to see the sick. Many of us don't go to hospitals. Many of us don't go to where destitute and distraught people are. If you ever have done it, standing in a position that we stand with somewhat of victory today, and we're conquerors, we're more than conquerors today. If you've ever taken yourself to a place where people are defeated and they see you walk in the room and you see their faces lit up, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's because you've never done it. But if you walk into a place where somebody's going to be dying from cancer in 6 months and they can see the hope in your eyes, you affect change in them. Your spirit leaps on them. And it has a positive effect, as you're saying, because I've experienced it. I ain't bragging. I'm not telling anybody about it. I've experienced going into a hospital to pray for sick people and be around people who knew that their life was about to be over. And it was at that moment, that point, I even began to better understand my purpose at that time and why he had put grace on me so that I could be you might be the only Christ that somebody can see, because the Bible said that we're living epistles read of by men. And when they can see that hope on you, as you mentioned earlier, it can leap off of you and onto them. Look, what did the apostle say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Look upon me. They told that sick man, just look at me. And immediately he was healed. They said, take up your bed and walk. They said, we don't have nothing physical to give you, but look upon us. So you are putting emphasis on a very serious point. But the reason we don't know victory is because we don't take ourselves in those positions to realize how much we do already have. So the devil tricks us and tells us, you're suffering, you got bills, things are going bad, but yet you got so much power, anointing, and joy that dwells on the inside of you. I don't have time for nobody to tell me about, you're a self-appointed elder. No, I'm not self-appointed. The Spirit itself beareth witness with me that I am the Son of God, called, anointed, put in this position, and it's been vindicated because you shall know a tree by the fruit it bears. I've been in ministry some 30 years. There's no way I'm going to allow myself to be relegated to a camp and they tell me, you have to start over. No, I can't start my life over, because he pulled me through many mountains, many valleys, gave me this information, and I'm not going to become complicit with you and become subservient to you because I'm hungry and destitute for position and for you to honor me. No, 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 that's not the way my Father works. He doesn't do things like that. No, no. He calls you, anoints you, and the Ruach comes to give you the information because he knows that you're available. And just like Isaiah said, at one point in your life, he said to Isaiah in the 6th chapter, or I think it was the 4th chapter, who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. The Father asked directly an open question, who will go for me? He didn't go to a camp and say, who will you have work their way up and take these different positions and then see who we can use? No, he said, who will go for me? And he said, here am I, send me. It's a willing, broken heart, as I read in the beginning of this lesson. You have to be like David, a broken heart, a contrite spirit, willingness to submit and repent and tell him to cast me not away from your presence and understand the seriousness of this. You know, brother, some one of these major camps got shut down by a hacker, and they have spyware and malware on their website, and anybody that tries to go onto the site gets the same spyware and malware on their computer. This is one of the major camps that everybody listens to and depends on to listen to be fed. Now what they going to do this weekend? See, they so stuck to this computer. Now they're wondering where they're going to get fed, how they're going to get fed. Now they realize they got to open the Bible for themselves and find a brother and sister close to them to fellowship with, because that camp got shut down by somebody and hacked. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they got hundreds of thousands of listeners. And now they sitting up probably twiddling their thumbs like, well, guess we won't get no lesson today. That ain't got nothing to do with Titus 1:5. There should be an elder locally, and there should be a local fellowship. If I couldn't do this right here, trust me, after I get through having fellowship here inside my home with family, I need to be out about my Father's business, doing as I'm supposed to do, and enjoying this day the way he told me to, and doing good.
Yeah, the word is so important, and I think we, just like we were talking about, living by the commandments, his name is the word. He's when two or three of us gather together, I'm in your midst. And I can remember times when even me, you, and Sister Tamara would eat. And I think it was some kind of sausage, and she was like, well, you can eat this, Brother Ray, because it don't got no pig in it. Just like last night, all of us were getting together, and the only thing we had in our mind, just like Brother Verse, he was telling me some of the stuff that he was making where he didn't have something else, in, or another person brought and said they didn't have nothing else. There's power in the word. Because as you're getting ready to fellowship and when you're getting ready to come together, everybody's mind is set on the same thing as the word. So when he gathers in your midst, even that thing is making you more healthier, making you more enlightened to understand that not only are you trying to worry about your temple, when you come together, you're worrying about everybody else's temple, keeping the whole world cut to the side. No matter what they're talking about, what Obama, with the Pope, no matter what it is, we know the Most High is the most important thing on this earth. And again, that's part of the healing. That's part of knowledge. Not knowledge from fools, but knowledge from the Most High. So gathering together is so important to make the body stronger. The eyes can't be no better without the ears. The ears can't be no better without the feet. So we need all the body to get together so we can become stronger to fight off Satan and all the things he's going to throw at us day after day.
It's important to find an elder in that city. And if, like, my brother came together with some other believers, and they may have had some differences, but find a man of power. Find a man that believes, and mostly that believes in Christ and these commandments. Somebody that has some power with the Most High, because it's important for us to assemble ourselves together, and it's important for us to keep these commandments and keep the word. With that said, that segue you just gave me, let's talk about the importance of the commandments. I'm reading out of Revelations 22, 14th verse, and it said, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city." Blessed are they that do his commandments. That is the most, that's how that verse starts off. Because they are the ones that have a right to the tree of life, that they may enter into the gates of that city. The commandments were never done away with. Never done. We see the importance, brothers and sisters, of the New Testament, because everybody would say that the Old Testament is done away with as well as the commandments. But we talk about all the time that how on the seventh day they went to the synagogue to hear the reading of the laws, statutes, and commandments. And the Gentiles would come too. Because the Gentiles, as I'm about to read, would be like, "Can y'all come again next week and read these commandments?" And I don't want to hear this stuff about the Gentiles are still Israel. No, Scripture tells us that in the Tanakh, that the other nations will say, "Truly, these are the sons of God," and they're going to want to follow us into the kingdom and learn of the laws from us. And they're going to hear of this truth. But Acts 13 and 15, a scripture I always like to read, it says that, "And after the reading of the law and the prophets," understand this is after Christ had already gone to be on the right hand of the Father, "and they were coming together on the seventh day," Sabbaton is seven. It means seven. Has nothing to do with Sunday, sun worship, Ra, worship of Ra. It is the seventh day after the sixth day of creation, the seventh day of rest. Sabbaton, Sabbath, Shabbat. "On the seventh day, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, 'Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.'" So what you need to understand, that Paul and his company went into Antioch, and they went into the synagogue on that seventh day and sat down with the people. But they called Paul up to come, and Paul got up and preached, and what he preached was he put them in remembrance of the Torah and the goodness of the Father, if you continue to read down through the rest of the scriptures. I won't go through all of them, but I like to bring that out because it is written in the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament and how it continued. But if you continue to read throughout is when you'll see, like verse 42, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them next Sabbath." After the Hebrew people left, the Gentiles said, "Can y'all come back again and teach this law the next Sabbath?" "Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who were speaking to them, and persuaded them to continue in the grace of the Most High. And the next Sabbath day came almost," verse 44, "and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." This has so many meanings to me. They weren't doing anything but reading the law. And the power of the law was drawing the people and the Gentiles. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Preaching the law, talking the law, living the law, living this life, and watch them be drawn unto us. Think because you somebody likes you is because you got on certain kind of clothes or perfume. No, when you keep in this law, people are going to be drawn to you, and you need to understand why they are drawn to you. Because there's something about you, something different. But this was the power of the law on the Sabbath day that the church doesn't tell you about, and how the multitudes and how the church grew. So listen, just because they were teaching the law on the Sabbath day, almost the whole city came. Then you go back to Titus, and Titus says, anoint an elder for every city. Put those two together real quick. You got an elder anointed in every city, and that elder every Sabbath is teaching the law. What am I seeing right here? A precedence that has been set that can change and transform a whole city. We got to stop stuff with the camp and just the internet. We got to find men of the Most High ready and willing to lead and teach these laws in every city. Your thoughts, brother?
Yeah, I'm going to read Isaiah 2. And you're talking about what we're supposed to do today. And hopefully this will give us a good understanding of what the Father talked about, what we're going to do when he comes. So Isaiah 2, I'm going to read the first three verses. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days. And if you listen to anybody talk, if you look at the signs and everything that's going around, we're talking about when the Most High come back, and that's what he's talking about, in the very last days. And it continues, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established at the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I just wanted to put emphasis on what you said. All nations. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll stop anytime you want me to. And many people should go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, which should be a chosen of the way. And we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. We already know the law. The Father's already gave us the law. So this is not a multiple choice thing we're doing. It's a 50-50. Either you're going to do what he says he's going to do, or you're not. So for out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So even in the last days, when he comes back and reestablishes kingdom, everything that, if you let anybody teach you, especially in this day and age, that the word is done away with, that's a shame on you if you believe him. Because his law is going to be, that's what's established then. But the same thing that you're talking about now, it's not even good to go to somebody who's not even teaching the law. They got to be able to teach the law, to understand the law is spiritual, it's physical, it's something that goes forth out of the very word of our Creator, out of his very mouth. So the law is something that can help everybody. And that's the reason why I don't go through some of these camps or some of these things, because they have like, for example, let's go GLCC. He's like the elder over the United States, elder wherever the GLCC is. And nowhere you'll find that a scripture for that.
Not
that goes off the teaching of the Most High. The Most High said, just like you said, adorn an elder in every area, because that area needs to be taken care of.
Exactly.
We don't need to be taking care of the area in Zimbabwe. We don't need to be taking care of the area in New Jersey City. We need to be taking care of the area where we live at. Now, there was always a mandate for the men of Israel to go back to that holy mount of Israel. But right now, the heathens are running to Jerusalem. Again, we can go to scripture over that. We talk about, I think we did a lesson on that, Zechariah 12.
Yeah.
But, all the Jerusalem is going to get paid back for the things they're doing. So even right now, when he comes back, every nation is going to be mandated for that. But right now, we need to take care of where we live at, our area.
That's right. I'm glad you brought that scripture out you just read, though. That's exactly what I was in reference to. Don't let nobody tell you, oh, other nations, that means that's just scattered Israel. No, there's going to be some people, a remnant of other nations that are going to recognize that, oh, you guys were really the people. And they're going to go with us to Zion to learn these laws. And this is what happened in Acts. These other nations, the Gentiles, were like, oh, can you do this again next Saturday? And this is where we're supposed to be. Long as we are the ones, Israel, Hebrews, are teaching this law. Because it was given to us.
Yeah, I think that Israel United Press got that terrible doctrine that every time you see Gentiles, it's another name for Israel. Even when you go back into the law, he tells you that this law is for the native-born and the soldier, the foreigner, the soldier with you. So he makes a differential there many times in the law. I think sometimes it does talk about, you know, us being lost sheep, and he's actually talking about us needing to come back into the covenant that we made with our forefathers. But other times he's talking about different nations that actually got to do what has been ordained already, come underneath Israel.
Yeah.
Same thing that Paul talks about in Romans 11, to come under Israel and learn so they can be grafted in.
Yeah, I
so
think...
he's always made a differential. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, finish your point, brother. I didn't know. I thought you was finished. It just got a little delay over there.
No, I am. I am done.
Go ahead. You bring out a good point because, see, here's the thing. We did have a lot of Israel scattered in other nations speaking other tongues. So, that, you know, here's the thing. Part of what they say is true. And we had Hellenistic Jews that were with the Greeks and all that. Part of what they say is true. But then there are also other nations. Some of our people were scattered in these other regions and spoke these languages. And he did come for only that house of Israel so that they might be, you know, that they might be brought back into the law. But we also see that the Gentiles, we already see that Paul said, don't boast against the natural branch. We have to understand that.
Yeah.
And then the scripture you just read made it clear that there will be a remnant of other nations that will see and be here and learn, be like, these are truly the people of the Most High. There's got to be somebody here to witness this transformation and this removing of the curses and our transcendence. There's going to be somebody here to see that. It's not just going to be us. There's going to be somebody that will go into captivity. Somebody's going to be here to go into captivity. So we have to understand the balance and teach and preach the balance. There is a percentage of truth with what they say, and those are the brothers that are shut down today with malware. There is a percentage of truth with what they say with what everybody says. That's why I said that we all see through a glass dimly. And, you know, one brother said it pretty good. One elder down south, he said it pretty good that he figures in his mind, he's going to see that when we get over into the wilderness, that Christ's going to be like, okay, yep, you had this right, and you guys had this right, and you guys had this right, but ain't none of y'all had it all right, you know, and that we're going to all be brought into a unification, because he even said in the wilderness, somebody going to be hiding behind a tree trying to get eat on a pork rib or a pork sandwich. They're going to be eating swine's flesh. You remember that in the scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm. It's sin, though. I mean, we can't get past the fact that us eternally, we got a daily battle we fight with our flesh. We get past being just a fleshly being to being a spiritual being, trying to walk in his commandments. So there's going to be always people going down from prophets in the Bible to people you see on a daily basis that's going to have to fight their own ways, their own demons, their own different spirits to make sure they stay spiritual. We sin on purpose, and we sometimes sin out of ignorance. But the battle for each and one of us daily is to keep walking in the commandments and keep walking in his statutes so we'll learn to be like him. And the reason why there's the elders, and that's the reason why there's people appointed on you, because they'll do it on a more daily basis. They'll keep the commandments. They'll make sure their wife is keeping the commandments. They'll make sure their children is keeping the commandments. So when you go by and you go to learn from them, their whole house is adorned with the way the Most High wants us to be. And again, I think that's another reason why, like, I remember when I first started, I said different things. There's still things in me I need to grow in my seed, my family, to get me to the right portion in the place that the Most High want me to be. And I don't think that's it's like a rush to judgment or a rush to try to get our treats quickly. We're getting purged in the fire. this is part of my faith and my walk that the Most High want me to go through to make sure that I am faithful, that I keep staying on the path. So when he rewards me with the one thing, then, you know, Satan, just like Job, he'll come against me with something else. But that's part of our trials and the fire so we can get to where we want to be. You'll get some people, I mean, their families tore down from the floor up. They call themselves all sorts of names. They call themselves whatever. You got your kid smoking crack. You got your wife sleeping with the other ministers. They call themselves some of the biggest names you can think of, pimping on the side. So you got to let the Most High make the increase. He'll separate the wheat from the tares. And that's a good thing.
Hey, man, there's a big difference in falling down and living in sin and setting up camp, setting up shop, and just living in sin. There's a big difference in, you know, making a mistake or setting up a mistake. You had some of these pastors that had mistresses and bought them an apartment and kept them on the other side of town, getting up preaching on Sunday, wife sitting in the front row, and they did going to see their mistress. That's setting up shop, setting up camp. Preaching against pork, go home and have a slab of ribs. Preaching against everything and you doing it yourself. So 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, says that we which are alive are always delivered unto death. So we're going to have struggles in this flesh, and he knows that. Even Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 4 and 8 said, we are troubled. He's talking about the believers who keep the laws and commandments. Listen to what he said. I'm going to start with 7. He said, but we have this treasure in our earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why he said that, because he wants to make sure that we don't ever glory in our flesh. The excellency of the power must always be given to Ahaya, the greatest, the I am. And he's going to make sure he keeps us humble, because once we walk in victory for a week or two or three weeks, us as Hebrews, stiff-necked and hard-headed, we get arrogant. Yes, I went on a 30-day fast, 3-day fast. I've walked with God. He spoke to me in a dream, and I'm seeing this. And, you know, brother, I want to share with you this revelation I have. Man, we lose our minds. So he lets us get knocked down to keep us humble. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 says that that power may be of God and not of us. Verse 8 said, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we're never forsaken. Listen to this one. We are cast down, but never destroyed. Did you hear that? We get cast down. And you know why? Verse 10. We're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's the life of Yeshua, HaMashiach. But I'm saying Jesus for those of you who don't understand that's in the Bible. Verse 11 said, for we which are alive are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might also be made manifest in our flesh. We're always delivered unto death. What death is that? The death of the flesh, the death of the struggles, the death of things that we're trying to kill off in our lives. And that brings me to another point. Don't tell me you're an elder and you're 23 years old because you ain't been through nothing. And I always say that. People can get mad at me if you want, but there's some struggles in the flesh you haven't even gone through yet. You ain't even been married long enough. You ain't went through nothing. So, brother, you know, a brother who's an elder in age is more inclined to be an elder in the flesh because he has overcome and understands these things right here, because they understand through resilience and bouncing back up. Verse 12 said, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe and therefore have spoken. So this is what it means that a just man will fall down and he'll get up. There's all kinds of scriptures in that. We are always delivered. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. We've got so many scriptures in there like that to let you know that while we're in this flesh, we're going to struggle and deal with it. I will tell you where perfection comes from, because Elizabeth and Zacharias were called perfect because they kept the laws. Perfection is the pursuit of the commandments and perfection. Perfection comes in the pursuit of perfection. That may not make sense, but I can't force it to make sense to you, which is why he said, lean not to your own understanding. Just acknowledge me. If we do, as the scripture tells us, not to be presumptuous and talk about the next day, or live in the next day. But if I, in this 5 minutes that I have right now, or this 1 minute I have right now as I speak to you, strive and fight to keep the laws, I'll be perfect in the law. I don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. I might break one of these commandments by accident. But where I stand right now in my heart and in my desire to keep these laws, will I possibly fall? Yes. Do I have grace? Yes. But the pursuit of perfection comes in the pursuit of keeping these commandments minute by minute. I'm not even going to say day by day. I'm going to say minute by minute. Minute by minute. Minute by minute, if I love my brother, my fellow man. This is why he said men ought always pray. You can't make it. The only way prayer means meditating on him, keeping your mind stayed on him, thinking about all the mistakes you made and asking for forgiveness every time something crosses your mind. That's right, I did do that, Father, forgive me. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Having a broken heart like David, a contrite heart. Oh, that's right, I remember when I did that. Lord, don't let me ever do that again. Make me a better man. Make me a better woman. Make me a better child. Help me to put it on. And if you strive for that, the Ruach HaKadosh will always bring to remembrance not only the word of the Most High, but the areas you fall short so that you can work on them. Because it's a process. It's a process. And these commandments, this law, and his spirit will not forsake you, and he will lead you and guide you into all truth and throughout this process. But you've got to have a broken, humble, contrite spirit. And he keeps us humble by letting us see who we really are at the core and making us feel bad for being some of the stiff-necked, hard-headed you-know-whats that we are. Let me get back into these commandments. All praises to the Most High. Let me go to Psalms 19. Let's read that real quick because we're talking about these commandments. Psalms 19 and the 7th verse. It talks about God's law, the highest law. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Man, I just have to take a Selah moment. It's perfect, and it converts us daily. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We all simple. You simple. We all simple. Simple as heck. It's these commandments that makes us wise and converts us from being simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens your eyes. When you put this purity in your soul, it enlightens your eyes. That's why your countenance changes and people can see the difference on you. Psalms 19 and 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The reason he's mentioning the fear of the Lord is because you have to fear him to want to keep these commandments. For anybody to say the commandments are done away with and I can do what I want to do, you don't really fear him. If you fear him, you will want to do anything and everything that you read of that you feel might bring you closer to him out of reverence and respect for Ahayah, the Most High. So the fear of the Lord, like, Father, I want to be closer to you. This man might be saying that these commandments are done away with, but I'm going to keep your Sabbath. I see Christ kept the Sabbath. I see he stopped eating these foods. I see he didn't eat this stuff. I fear you. I respect what you say. I'm not going to let man lead me astray. Psalms 19 and 10, more to be desired, these commandments, are they than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Major right there. These commandments warn us of what's coming. That's how they enlighten our eyes. The purity of the commandments gives us the ability to have the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge to be able to see. He'll speak to us in our dreams. He'll let us know something is not right. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. It goes on to say, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. Why wouldn't you want to keep the commandments? how major that these commandments are.
And I love Psalm 19:6. Is the law is perfect in converting soul. You know, I can't understand why any human being on earth would want to get rid of the law.
They don't want nobody to get converted. They want to keep people in bondage right now in this Christian church. They want to keep us in bondage and going to Sunday worship. And in Sunday worship, just listen to whatever he says. It has nothing to do with the law. And then have you chasing prosperity. And everything on this earth will pass, will fade away. It will pass and will fade. I just want to read to those that the spirit does not come from getting baptized. The spirit comes from keeping the laws and commandments. I give my spirit to those who keep my commandments. That's where the spirit comes from. And the spirit, Romans 8:26 says, it helpeth our infirmities because we don't even know how to pray as we ought. The spirit maketh intercessions for us. And then it goes on to say that he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the spirit, because he maketh the decision for the saints. We know the saints are Hebrew Israel, and it's according to the will of the Most High. Verse 28 says, and we know, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's Yeshua HaMashiach, whom he ignorantly called Jesus the Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that we might be a part of the remnant. When it says whom he did foreknow, goes back to Jeremiah, the first chapter, that says, before you were formed in the belly, I knew you, called you, and sanctified you. This thing is so preset and understood that it has nothing to do with your flesh, that he sent you here with an assignment, predestined a certain set time that we would come into the knowledge of the truth, and then preset our role to give us the opportunity to choose him, but understanding and knowing that we would choose him because he had intimacy before he put us here on the earth. And Romans 28 confirms that we would be conformed to the image of Yeshua HaMashiach, because he predestined us, he called us, he justified us, and he glorified us. And he's given us the ability to want to adapt to these laws. I can't even get mad, Brother Ray, at the ones that don't want to keep the commandments and laws, because it's been preordained who would see it, understand it, and know it. But he's given everybody a chance to accept it. But he knows those that are going to say, this is the way. This is the life, as we said earlier. He knows who those people are. And that's why it goes on, even when it says that, let me see. 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? All these things that we'll go through. It is written that we are killed all the day long. It talks about what's even happening now. Being just destroyed in these streets and going into Jacob's trouble, and in that time we're counted as sheep of the slaughter. That's the way we're seen in this world, this life. We don't mean nothing to them. But nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor nothing present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ our Lord. Let me go back to another one real quick. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of the Most High, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The children of God, those that want to keep his commandments, that are his children. The Spirit will bear witness with your spirit there is a confirmation that takes place where you know, you shake your head and say yes, Spirit says yes. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. Let me see, brothers and sisters, have you ever knew that you were a part of something because there was a confirmation and there was mutual acceptance, like when you got a job and they said, well, we want you. You're hired. When can you start? Or another feeling where you just felt that you were a part of a family because you felt that acceptance and it went without saying. I'm just trying to give an analogy to help you to understand for those of you that don't know if you are a part of this remnant. You know what tells you that you're in this remnant? You want to keep these feasts and festivals. You want to keep the Sabbath. It is His commandments are not grievous towards you. That's the best scripture I can give you right now. The scripture tells us the commandments are not grievous towards us, but those that are called and in this fold, they have an innate ability and desire and hunger to keep these commandments, fear the Most High, as Psalms 19 said, and try to do whatever and anything they can to be close to Him. And when they make a mistake, want to hurry up and get back up, no matter how much it costs, no matter how much it hurts, no matter what they got to give up, they're willing and wanting to do it because the Spirit is pulling and you want to hear, accept its call. You don't throw in the towel and get comfortable with sin. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of Ahiah. And that we're children, we are heirs, and we are joint heirs. And that means that we will suffer with Him. But 17 says that we have to suffer with Him in order to share this glory with Him. We reckon that the sufferings of this present time shall not be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. All praises be to the Most High for that.
You're teaching. Good word. Real good word.
All praises to the Most High, man. I just want people to understand where they stand and what this is. I mean, this life. Man, we in this life. You know, brother, we need each other. You know, we in this life.
Yes.
You know, we got mountains and valleys, peaks and valleys. But that's this life. That's this life.
Man, the reason why, you know, it's still important to this day that they came out to read the reading of the law, your Savior, Yeshua, it was his custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day to read the law out of the Torah. That was Paul's custom. Moses gathered the children of Israel together to read them the law to let them know what time it was. And today is no different day. As long as there's a fleshly being that's on this earth, and as long as there's a fleshly being searching to become a spiritual being, we need to read the law so we can accomplish that goal.
Man, this law is so important. All praises to the Most High for this law. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's my prayer that people, I mean, I can't force it on people, but it's my prayer that people would realize that it's a blueprint for your life. It's a blueprint for a healthier life, a better life. You know, it's just a healthier life. It's a better life. There's a spirit that comes on people from eating these unclean foods, and they misunderstand the scripture and think that they can just pray over it and it's good. And I never understood people talking about they're going to pray over something unclean and make it clean after they pray, but they can't cast no demons out of nobody, and they can't even get no sins off of their life. You know, they still living the same lifestyle, struggling with the same sins, but you can pray over some pork and suddenly it's clean. I can't understand.
But what you said is so true. Like, there's a spirit that comes to you from TV. There's a spirit that'll come to you. They talk about how much estrogen, female hormones, they put in some of the food.
Yep.
Some, just like you were talking the other day, some of the stuff they put in your water.
Yep.
That's the reason why we stay away from stuff that's unclean. There's a spirit that comes along with the unclean.
Yeah.
So we can't just keep putting filth inside of our body and expecting it to be good. You see some of the most ill-mannered people, especially in the medical field, that's been dealing with maybe terminal illness or cancer or something that's been going wrong. That's a spirit of evil that's come upon you. I don't know what they did to get to that state, but there's something that's hovering inside their body the whole time now. So you can't keep putting unclean into your body expecting to see the Most High come out. You're going to see something else come out.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, what you say right now with the estrogen that they're putting in the BPA and in the lining of the water bottles and the drinking bottles and the soda bottles and the cans, and this estrogen and all this BPA and estrogen in the drinking water, tap water, the sodas and everything, is putting female hormones, and it's messing up the women too. The extra estrogen is causing breast cancer and everything else, and they got some type of chemicals that increases the testosterone inside of women too and makes them want to be butch. But let me go back to what you're saying. You said it's a spirit that comes through television. So check this out. Because when you said this, I just had a complete visual. You said that. This is the world. This is Satan. If I can get enough estrogen inside of men, lower their testosterone, make them effeminate, which is a sin, and then show them enough on TV of homosexual activity and gay marriage, I'll get them to begin to open their spirits up to an alternative lifestyle. If I can put enough of it on TV and in their face, and chemically and genetically in their bodies, they're already becoming subservient to effemininity and being feminine, and they're losing their testosterone and they don't have no strength and no fight in them, I might be able to get them to sneak around and become bisexual and open to an alternative lifestyle. And then if they see it on TV all the time, they'll be more open to it, like, and this is what Satan is doing.
Oh, man, I know. It's hard to watch TV. I tried to watch another show the other day, and I can't watch that no more. I think it was a show called Rosewood. I got to start to watch it now. Like, oh, it's pretty good, not bad, you know. The woman about to start walking around half-naked during the show. Then they got two ladies that call themselves lesbian. I think, I can't watch this. It's everything. It's built around, if you watch that blue box.
Yeah, they put a brother on there. They put a brother on there to promote sexuality and tell him to take off his shirt, and they don't know he didn't sleep with the producers and everybody else just to get the role. And everybody thinks, yeah, man, that stuff is a mess. That's Hollywood, bro. That's Hollywood. And people buy into it like crazy. But the thing we're saying, and the reason we got to this, because we're not trying to get off topic, is that we're getting away from even the dietary laws, and they're poisoning our foods, and the foods and the poison that they're putting in the foods is having an effect on our spirit and opening up our spirit to the programming that comes through the airwaves, the television, radio, and the music. It's because the chemicals are breaking down. What breaks down your body affects your spirit and your soul, and you have no defense mechanism against the demonic spirits that want to inhabit your body. And you know what? I got a good gauge for you. I'll tell you who these people are that are demon-possessed, who can't stand to be around you commandment keepers, you people that worship and love the Father, you people that have the light of purity in your eyes from the commandments, you people that are walking with a higher. When they see you, they hate you, they despise you. When you talk about the word, they hate you, they despise you. When you got peace, happiness, and joy, they despise you. How can two walk together except they agree? Dark and lightness cannot be in the same space. So half the time, it's not a fight like I don't like you or I can't stand her. No. I'm going to tell you what it is. One is going to win. One is going to lose. And most of us walking in these commandments sometimes compromise because we get lonely and want to be accepted. Because I'll tell you, the moment we start keeping these commandments, it's a lonely walk. You lose your family, you lose your friends, because you're not at all the games with your partners turning it up, slamming back tequila and a 30-pack, and you ain't, every time after it's a touchdown, you like, check her out over there, yeah. You know, you done separated yourself. Same thing with the girls, trying to go to the bar to catch the guys during the game, getting drunk. You done separated yourself from the world. But when you come into this truth, you get lonely because there's no more Thanksgiving and no more Christmas for you, no more pork ribs for you, no more just turning it up no more. So, and then we quick to give in. That's why we need the Sabbath, and we need each other, and we need to fellowship and forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, because we need to keep each other strong, because we don't want you to compromise to darkness. Keep walking in this light of truth through Yeshua HaMashiach and the Most High in Christ.
I like the last point, especially if you're feeling loneliness. If you've decided to, you know, walk in the Most High, keep His commandments, there's going to be points in time where you feel loneliness. You got to understand that's the adversary trying to work towards you, trying to get you to come back to the world. You got to rejoice in the fact that He has separated you from the world, that you've seen the path that you used to walk on, and you see what the world is doing, and you don't want to be in there no more. Because there's going to be so few that want to walk on that path of righteousness. There's going to be so few that want to walk on that path where every day that you wake up that you're trying to walk on the path of where the commandments lead you. So every time you see that point of loneliness where people, they feel dismay about that, you rejoice, because that's the Father dwelling in you saying that, hey, you are my chosen vessel, and you stay with me. And that's going to keep you away from the world. That's going to keep you away from a lot of people. But don't be dismayed by that, people. It's okay.
No, you're talking, brother, when you said that. One of them old church songs came to my mind. Hey, can you hear that?
I can hear a little bit.
Listen. Oh, man. We're never alone. Never alone. Did you hear that?
It wasn't clear.
Okay, I
can. That's what the song was, Never Alone?
Yeah, the song says, I don't have to worry because I'm never alone. Never alone.
Most High is dwelling. He's the one separating you from all that madness. So don't get dismayed by that. It's such a good thing. It's a good thing to be walking on that path. It's a good thing to know that, you know, the people of the world don't want to be around you. You can't be around them because they don't want to keep the commandments. Light and dark can't travel on the same path together. So that's such a good thing.
All praise to the Most High. So I'm good. I'm resolute. This is a day that the Most High has made. It's a beautiful day outside. No chemtrails in the sky. No poison that I can see, but I know we're covered and we're protected. You know, as you said earlier in this show, I say to you, brothers and sisters, man, so what about these blood moons, the Pope, and what the world is doing? Let's talk about what Christ is doing, getting us ready, because He's coming quickly. And when He comes, His reward is going to be with Him. This is the only way you can be prepared and be ready, is by doing this and keeping these commandments. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your children. They ain't got the strength to understand how to fight. They don't even know that these commandments are like swords and shields. Man, I just wish I sometimes wish that these kids could see the spirit realm for 5 seconds. They'd be on this show every Saturday and trying to keep these commandments and these laws. And be talking about, when are we going to hear them commandments again? Can we pray? If they could see in the spirit realm. Even some adults, if you could see in the spirit realm for 1 second that there are angels staving off demonic spirits, protecting you because somebody's praying for you, and that there are little demons and imps just itching and biting and scratching at you every day, constantly trying to get you to give in to the lifestyles of this world so that they can possess you. There's a war going on to get you comfortable with Satan's world. Biggest trick he played is to get people to think he's not real and he don't exist. But for those of you who do know the truth, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Brother Ray, appreciate you, brother.
Likewise, my brother. It's always good to hear from you. Hope you and your wife and your children are doing good in the portion of your vineyard. May the Most High keep blessing you and keeping you is most important, you know, until we get to fellowship and lay hands on each other again. I miss you, though, brother.
Yeah, we're going to get down there. When y'all having the next party again, you and Brother Burtis?
You know, that was up to it. I'm still praying that hopefully me and my wife can get up there and see you this way. Had a little thing came up this week, but hopefully that'll stop what the Most High wants to do. I want to get her out of town anyway, so I'm hoping when we get out of town, I get a chance to see you and Sister Tamar for a little bit, but I'll let you know for sure.
All praise to the Most High.
Yes, indeed. Our Father, our leader.
Our Father and our leader, brothers and sisters, keep your head up. Stay in this truth. Stay in these commandments. Stay in this word. Go in the archives and listen to some of the lessons we did this week. Brother Ray did a great lesson. Straight No Chasers, just giving some information about what's going on. Still got the Heart of a Hebrew Woman going on Tuesdays. A lot of sisters joining the Heart of a Hebrew Woman group via Facebook, reading the posts and listening to the show. So all praises to the Most High for that. Because if anybody needs it more than ever, it's these sisters out here in this world that are being led astray really fast. They figure they got these brothers beat up, downtrodden, and chasing one thing. So we praise the Father that the sisters are waking up and trying to become virtuous women, coming to this truth and these laws, cover up them heads. Yeah. So, as I always say, that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have the truth. Because truth is a journey, not a destination. Quam Yasha'Allah, which means let's rise, Israel. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Father, we love you. We praise you. May he keep you. Watch over you. Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Choke it on a man. So when I shake him, I last in hand.